Take those Bibles. If you don't have them open by now, turn them open to Psalm 8, if you would, please. If you do that, I was sharing on Wednesday night how I kind of picture in my mind how David wrote this particular psalm. You can remember thinking back at some point in your life, perhaps as a child, can you think about those times where you've just been outside and maybe you're laying on the ground or you're reclined in a position and you're just staring up into the heavens and just in awe of what you see. There's a particular time and season in my life where I was serving in the army and I was stationed in Saudi Arabia, and I can remember those nights in the desert, and the stars just seemed so much more close in that environment. And I'd sit out on our 24-hour rotations, and overnight I would take my rucksack and put it on this little path, and I'd sit back and recline upon it and just take it all in and just be amazed by what I was seeing. And for me, that's kind of like the picture I have of King David as he pens these words. What we're going to find is that this particular psalm is the first nature psalm for us to come across. And what I mean by that is this is a psalm that shows how God has revealed himself through his creation, just like Scripture tells us that he has done so. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So as David reflects upon the wonders of God's creation, it moves him to seek God and to exalt God in his wisdom, his power, and his might. And so David gives some instructions to the music director, right? The song was supposed to be accompanied by a gittith. A gittith is like a harp-like stringed instrument. Apparently it came from the region of Gath. And so this is a congregational song to be sung. And in this psalm, there are two great truths that filled David's mind. And first of all, he was overwhelmed by the majestic glory that God had sculpted in the heavens. And he's taken that all in. And secondly, is the unfathomable fact that he's just overwhelmed with the realization that the creator of everything that he's taking in, the creator of the universe, the fact that he loves and cares for him, moves him. And it should move us as well. Those two truths should lead us to a great response as well. And that response should be that we would acknowledge him as Lord, and we would praise his holy name, and not just with our words, but with how we live our lives. And so let's begin with verse 1. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemies and the revengeful cease." And so the name of the Lord is majestic in all of the earth, which means there's not a place on earth that is not that is prevented from being able to see the order and beauty of God's creation. It's a phrase, it's a term that we use called the natural revelation or the general revelation of God. That is, that God has revealed himself through creation, and because of that, that general natural revelation is available unto everyone. There's not a place in this world that one might go and not see the glory, the beauty, the majesty of our God. And so verse 1 goes on to say, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. And the wording on this phrase is very significant because it reveals to us the fact that God's glory cannot be contained by His creation. Now, the glory of God is revealed in creation, right? But creation in and of itself cannot fully contain all of God's glory. The heavens and the earth can only partially express the glory of God, because God's glory is far greater than what He has created. His glory exceeds the heights of His creation. And that's why David says these words in verse 3. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? The son of man that you care for him. David's amazed as he reflects upon God's creation. And people often casually speak about, oh yeah, God just flung the stars into space and there they are. But that's not how it happened. Say that our Lord carefully decorated the skies as a wife might carefully decorate her home. In other words, each piece, each element of God's creation has been positioned and has its purpose. Everything that He created is placed according to His great pleasure. In verse number 4, David asked the question, what is man that you would take thought of him? In other words, what is man that you would even give him a passing thought, much less care about him enough to guide him and to love him? Think about this. What David could see with his naked eye was enough to stir him to rejoice over God's thought and care for His people. But think about us today. Oh, today we know so much more about the universe in which we live. We know so much more than what David could even imagine as he wrote these words. So how much more overwhelmed, how much more amazed ought we to be over our majestic Creator? It's the fact that He would give us a thought, the fact that He would care for us, the fact that He would provide unto us His only begotten Son as a demonstration of His great love for us. We ought to take the time to seek to try to take it all in, that we could be moved by the great love and care that God has for us. And so I'm going to very roughly try to help put this amazing reality in perspective. Let's go on a journey together. This journey we begin on a place called Earth. As you saw in that video before, roughly 8 billion people, closer to 7.9 billion individuals are living upon this planet that we call Earth. Now, Earth is one of 8 planets in our solar system. Did you catch that? One of 8. You notice something's missing? I grew up, there were 9 planets. Now there's 8. What's overlooked? What's neglected? What's left out? Yeah, appropriately named Pluto. Much like Disney disrespects Pluto, so do astronomers disrespect Pluto. Pluto was a planet, then it wasn't a planet, then it was a planet, now it's a dwarf planet. I can't even get a good enough graphic to even copy and paste that contains Pluto. So, unfortunately, Pluto is out of the conversation for today. We are one of 8 planets within our solar system. Take a moment to take in the size comparison of our planets, right? The earth, we're fifth. We're the fifth largest or the fourth smallest, however you want to look at that. When you compare our planets to the sun, it becomes absolutely spectacular to take it all in. The sun is roughly 109 times the diameter of Earth. Somehow they have projected the weight. The weight of the sun in comparison to the Earth is 333,000 times greater than Earth. The sun is so large that you could take 1,300,000 Earths and place them inside of the sun. That's how large our sun is. Now, we'll talk about distance for a moment. Go from distance from the closest, distance from the Earth to the moon. That distance is 238,855 miles, which is about 30 Earths away. If you were to travel to the moon today, based upon current rocket propulsion, it would take 3 days to get from Earth to the moon. Now, when you look at the distance from Earth to the sun, well, that's 92,960,000 miles away. Scientists refer to this as one astronomical unit. Anybody know that one? Some of you are shaking your head. We don't really believe you, but it's okay. It's one astronomical unit. The distance of the speed of light, I'd ask you if you know it. You'll say yes. I'll just tell you. Hey, Kanan, hook me up with some water, buddy. Would you? Thank you. All right. Speed of light travels at 186,262 miles per second. That is about 7.5 times around the Earth every second. It takes approximately 8 minutes from a beam of light that originates from the sun to travel to the Earth. Technically, it's 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Right? In a year, that beam of light will travel approximately 6 trillion miles. 6 trillion miles. We refer to that as a light year. Okay? So, our solar system, right, is located in what we call the Milky Way galaxy. Right? Here's a little known fact. In the midst of every galaxy, there is a black hole. Okay? There's a black hole in the midst of all galaxies. So our particular galaxy, the Milky Way, has approximately 200 to 400 billion stars. That's just the stars, right? The diameter of our galaxy is between 100 and 120,000 light years. That's massive. 120,000 light years. So the Milky Way galaxy lies within what astronomers would call our local galactic group. Okay? Now we're going to get a little bigger picture now. So we have this local galactic group. This local galactic group, hey buddy, you can just bring it to me. This local galactic group is made up of 54 different galaxies. I know you can't read all of those. Like, I get it. But just try to take it in. The nearest galaxy to our galaxy, Andromeda. Maybe you've heard of that. Right? So that's the nearest galaxy to us. That galaxy is 2.5 million light years away from us. 2.5 million light years. So, this local galactic group, which we are a part of, is approximately 10 million light years in diameter. But it gets even larger. This local galactic group is part of what they refer to as a Virgo supercluster. This Virgo supercluster is made up of local galactic groups, of which we're one of. It's made up of 100 different local galactic groups. And each of these galaxy groups are made up of at least 50 galaxies, right? So the Virgo supercluster is about 7,000 times the size of our local galactic group. It's about 100 billion times the size of the Milky Way. At some point, I've lost you, surely by now. It's just too much. The diameter of this supercluster, 110 million light years, is how they project it. You do realize these aren't real pictures. These are manufactured. These are interpretations. Okay. So the Virgo supercluster lies within a local supercluster. The local supercluster is centered around our Virgo supercluster. I know. I'm losing you. Okay, how about this? All of this is within the what they refer to as the known observable universe. The diameter of this known observable universe is estimated to be anywhere between 42 to 180 billion light years. Now that's a big scale. From 42 billion light years to 180 billion. I think some scientists just got lazy at this point. It's just out there. But that's 42 to 180 billion light years in diameter. In all of these galaxies, there are as many planets as there are stars. The estimated number of planets within the known observable universe is 200 billion trillion. I mean, the number is beyond comprehension. And of all of those trillions of stars, all those billions of trillions of planets, we are but a tiny speck on one of them. Yet we've been singled out by the creator of the cosmos. We have been singled out to know him and to be the objects and the recipients of his great love. And that ought to move us to worship in some way. With this in mind, listen as I read from a portion from Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning of verse number 14, it says, "For this reason I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Man. Just a moment for you to consider. For those of you that struggle with poor self-image or a low self-esteem, may you know and may you see just how valuable you are unto God. He carefully created you according to his own details, his own purpose, his own specifications, if you will. Put it this way, those physical attributes that you despise, Those things about you that you would do anything if you could change or if you could hide them permanently, may you know that they were carefully programmed into your DNA by the creator of our universe. Which means he delights in your uniqueness. You were sculpted by the hand of God. Right, right. You're not just another copy from a common mold. No, you are an individual masterpiece that was knitted in the womb of your mother. He delights in your uniqueness. Don't despise how the Lord has created you. Know that he created you for a purpose and for a reason. And the reason why we all exist is that we might know him and that we might glorify him in all that we do and all that we say. More than this, not only did he create you, he watches over you. In our text, it says that he takes thought of us and he cares for us. I want you to understand that those verb tenses are in the imperfect tense. And what does that mean? Well, it means that these verbs are continuous actions. So not only did he think about you once, he continues to think about you. Not only did he provide care for you once, he continues to care for you. Our God knows every heartache, every burden, every trouble, every pain, every problem in our lives. He knows. He knows our life better than we know our lives. And he loves you. And he wants you to experience a peace that is unexplainable. He even provides the means by which we can obtain that peace. And that is in giving us his son. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's a celebration of the birth of a Savior. It's not about Santa or stockings or trees or lights. It's about Jesus. Like God so loved the world that he gave us his son who humiliated himself because he left his exalted position in heaven and dwelt among us. Only to be despised and mocked and rejected. And he gave himself as a sacrifice so that all that might believe in him could receive the forgiveness and the cleansing that only he can offer. Receive the peace that God longs for us to have. May you understand that you are loved by the Creator. Oh, how he loves you. David continues in verse number 5. It says, yet you have made him a little lower than God. And you understand that we are the only creation made in the image and the likeness of God. We are the only creation that is qualified to rule over the rest of creation. Which is why he goes on to say, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. And then David concludes this psalm exactly the way that he began it. And he says, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The understanding our place in God's order evokes this final note of praise. The God created man and God gave him dominion over the earth, but going back to the garden, man fell. They rebelled. And as a result, they lost their glory. Oh, I might say it like this. God the Father created us to be kings, but the disobedience of our first parents robbed us of our crowns. Thankfully, the story doesn't end there, right? Thankfully, there's more to come. Thankfully, the New Testament completes the picture for us. God sent us His Son, offering redemption to all of those that would submit and surrender their lives unto the Savior. And one day, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings will return. And when He comes back, oh, He will establish His kingdom for eternity. And creation itself will be restored completely, eternally. The question for us today is, as we behold the wonders of God's creation, not only do you know Him, but does He know you by name? Have you surrendered your life unto the King of Kings? We're just a little over, barely a week away from celebrating Christmas. Greatest gift to ever be given is God's gift to us, manifesting itself through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would allow you to receive that gift for yourself, and that you would live a life of faithful obedience unto Him, seeking to glorify Him in all that you do and all that you say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for today. Thank You for the uplifting Psalm 8. And God, help us to try to take it all in. We might be amazed at Your glory and Your grace. And in this moment, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would move among us, that each and every one of us would make decisions and commitments that would honor and glorify You. For some, and it's the decision and the commitment to submit and surrender our lives unto Jesus. For others, those that have already made that salvific choice and decision in their lives, perhaps it's a sin to confess and repent from, or a decision and commitment that needs to be made. Oh God, whatever needs to happen for us to leave here in a right relationship with You, Father, I pray that we will not rush through this next moment, Father, but that we would carefully reflect and wisely respond to Your word today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.